And it's a blessing what He's given to us. You know, it is a blessing the fact that we can come in and freely worship Him. We didn't have to look behind our back to see, you know, if the government was following us in. We didn't have to do any of those things. We're blessed today. We've got God's Word. This is the Word of God. And, you know, I say it a lot, but there is no errors in this. There's no contradictions. It's not out of date. It's not, it doesn't need any additions or subtractions. Glad God gave us exactly what we need today. And that's what I want to do. I want to get into His Word. There's a lot of things we could talk about today. We could talk about current events. The problem is you can never keep up with them. There's always a new current event. But aren't you glad we serve a God that's written down everything that we will ever need because He knows the future. And it amazes me how this book is never goes out of date, never goes out of touch. It's just, it's alive today. And I want to look at four verses from Genesis 35. First four verses. So we'll be at Genesis 35, 1 says this, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up unto Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all them that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand and all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word today, Lord. We thank You for its truth. Lord, I pray that You would use me. Lord, touch my throat. Help me to be able to preach. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And then also open up our ears and our hearts and our minds today to what Your Word has. And Lord, I ask that You'd speak to each and every one of us. Lord, open up the altar. Take away the distractions. And Lord, just for a brief amount of time, let us get some truth from You today. And in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're, I'm telling you, it's good today. Genesis 35, 1, that's where we were at. But for it to make sense, we've got to look at Jacob's life leading up to this point. We have to go back a little bit to really realize what God is telling him right here in chapter 35. So we'll start out by in chapter 27. That is where Jacob obtained Esau's blessing. Remember, Esau was the first twin that came out, so he was supposed to get the blessing, but Jacob, remember, he deceived his father Isaac. He tricked him. He was blind, so he put on some skins and made himself smell like he was Esau, and he tricked his father to get the blessing. That's chapter 27. Chapter 28, Esau's mad at him, wants to kill him. So he leaves home and goes to his uncle Laban's house. That's where he was to find a wife. And along the way, he goes to sleep one night, makes some stones for a pillow. And he has a dream that night. He dreams and he sees a ladder that reaches from the earth all the way up into heaven. And he sees angels ascending and descending under that ladder. And Genesis 28:13 says this, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." And then in verse 15, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken thee of." So there the Lord speaks to him in this dream. Jacob renames that place Bethel, which means the house of God. And then Jacob makes a vow to God in verse 20. "And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and I will give and will give me bread to eat and put raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee." So God gives him this dream, this vision, and makes promises unto him. And so God dedicates himself to Jacob, just like the promises he had made to his grandfather Abraham. And he said, I'm going to multiply your seed. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to bring you back to this place. And Jacob, in return, vows a vow to God, and he dedicates himself to God, and he says, I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to come back to this place, and he calls it, this is the house of God. So this is the place, it's a special place in Jacob's life, Bethel is, where God revealed himself. It was a promised land, and it was God's house. So remember, he's traveling to Laban. That's where he gets in chapter 29, there in Haran. He works for 7 years. Remember, he loved Rachel, worked 7 years for Rachel's father, Laban, to get her. But remember, Laban tricks him. So the trickster gets tricked himself there in chapter 29 and sneaks in the older sister, Leah. And then so he ends up working 7 more years for both of the sisters. There it is, 14 years later. Then in chapter 30, I'm sorry, it's going to take us a little bit, but we'll get there. Chapter 30, Jacob serves Laban 6 more years so he can get some cattle. And remember, that is when Laban keeps changing the deal. You know, whether it's this type of cattle or that type of cattle, 10 times, the Bible says. But God speaks to him in another dream in Genesis 31:13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So God gives him instructions in chapter 31. He tells him to return. Chapter 32, Jacob reunites with his brother Esau, who shows him mercy after all of those years. Then that is the chapter where he wrestles with God. God changes his name to Israel. So now think of Jacob. He's got wives, he's got children, he's got flocks and herds and all of these things. His brother has now forgiven him after all these years. And remember, God, who called himself the God of Bethel, told Jacob to come back. To Bethel, come back to that land where he wanted him to be, where the place where they had made vows to each other, Jacob and God, build an altar, build a house of God. And now it's been at least 20 years later. So God is reminding him of the promise that he had made 20 years prior when he saw the vision, when he saw the ladder. He's reminding him about the promise. So you ask this question, where did Jacob go? Right? You knew where he needed to be, but let's see, where did he actually go? Genesis 33:17, Jacob journeyed to Succoth, built him a house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. So he meets Jacob and Seir, and that's down in the land of Edom. So I'm going to try to do it backwards. So here is where Laban lives. He came straight down to where Esau lived, and then he decides to come up over here, about halfway. You know where Bethel is? It's over here. All right? So you see what he's doing? He's going about halfway to where he needs to be. And he builds a house there. And he lives and he builds barns for his cattle. So he didn't have a tent. He didn't plan on temporary living there, but he fully intends to stay. And I believe between verse 17 in chapter 33 and verse 18, you've got even more years passing. He travels to Shechem. He buys a piece of land and he builds an altar there. So here we go. He started up here in Haran. Lord told him to get out of there. He goes to see his brother in Edom. And then he comes up to Succoth at first. Remember, well, I take it back. Bethel's right about here. He travels over to here. He's even closer to where God wants him to be. Bethel's right here. Right here is where he is at in Shechem. So he's even closer, but he would still have to travel further south to get to where God told him to be. So he's almost where God wants him, right? Have you ever been there? You're real close to where God wants you to be. In fact, you're getting about as close as you can to where God wants you without being exactly where he wants. This is where Jacob was at. So what happened in Jacob's life? What happened in Shechem? Almost where God wanted him to be. Not quite Bethel. What happened when Jacob followed God just halfway? We get to Genesis chapter 34. That chapter, there's no other way to put it, is a disaster in the Bible. In fact, you read that chapter and it's hard to even read it. It's so bad. In fact, you read that and you think, my goodness, why is this even here in the Bible? You know why God puts chapters like that? Because that's the reality. Right? That's the reality of what happens when we make our own decisions and we live by our own set of rules. You get a chapter 34. It begins with Jacob's daughter, Dinah. You know what happens in Shechem? She gets raped by a man. That's what happens to start it off. And then her brothers deceive the men of Shechem and they get them say, you know what, we'll make a league between you and us, but we're circumcised and you're not. So if you do that, then we can join together. Sounds like a good plan, right? Some more, maybe adding a little morality to the heathen land there. Oh, but see, it was all deception. 3 days later, after the men agreed to it, they kill all the men of Shechem. Levi and Simeon do that. So they deceived them. So now we've got rape, we've got murder, we've got deception, we've got lies. And then you get to the bottom of chapter 34 and Jacob hears about it. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, what have you done? You've brought down my name. When they hear about this, the neighboring people hear about this, they're going to kill us too. Do you see what happens? From the beginning of chapter 34 to the end of it is a mess. There's nothing good that happens there. It's full of sin. It's full of deception, lies, and everything else, and problems. And they get to that chapter and it's absolutely a wreck. But remember, God never told Jacob to go to Succoth. God never told him to go to Shechem. And now his family's in a mess. There's sin everywhere. And now they have to deal with the consequences. I don't know why he moved to those places. It might have been better pasture land. You know, he had a lot of cattle. I don't know if he saw something there that he liked. Or maybe it was even this. People may not like this, but remember, back in Bethel, he promised God, I'll give you a tenth. Yeah. Right? At the house of God, I'll give you a tenth of everything that I have. He made that promise to God. And maybe he's thinking, if I don't go there, I won't have to give the tenth. Well, that's quiet. But anyway, so I don't know why he went there, but his life is a mess after chapter 34. It's absolutely a mess. It's a wreck. His family's a mess. His children's a mess. And all of these things happened in his life. And I don't hear him asking God for help. I don't hear them asking God for direction or anything else. They're just doing what they think is right. And it's a mess. Now we get to chapter 35 where we started. What do you do when you're halfway to God's will? What do you do when everything's a mess and you didn't think it would turn out this way? What do you do when the children are doing things that are ridiculous? What do you do? What's God say in chapter 34 or 35, verse 1? And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up unto Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Do you see what he tells Jacob? God tells him, quit complaining, quit sulking, quit worrying about and fearing the people around you, and arise. He says, you get up and you go up unto Bethel. You're thinking, well, that's strange. Bethel is south of there. No, where he's saying is you're down deep living in your own worldly plan. You need to get up out of that and go to where God wants you to be. That's what he's saying. Arise, get up, go up into Bethel. I never told you to dwell in these other places, but I did tell you to dwell in Bethel. I want you in the house of God, and that's where I need you, the place where I commanded you to go. You're trying to fix up your own place. You're trying to fix up your own land and your own house and your own barns and these other places. But where you need to be is in the house of God, where God instructed you to be. I don't think it's an accident that place is called Bethel and it means the house of God. You're saying, well, the Old Testament's good for history. I'll tell you what, it's good for today. You can try to find yourself in any any of these places around here. You can make a name for yourself. You can make a place for yourself. But I tell you what, there will never be a place like the house of God, not just His house, but there will never be a place right in the center of God's will. You'll never find a substitute. It's always downward. And it always comes with the Genesis chapter 34 to go with it. Every time. You're saying, well, Mike, I can worship God anywhere, anytime. That's true. But do you know who designed the church? Not this building. But do you know who instituted the church? The same one that died for the church, Jesus Christ. And when you're saying that the church isn't important, you're forgetting who the head of the church is. That's also Jesus Christ. You're telling the head of the church that died for your sins that the thing that you instituted and you built and you sent the comforter and you are making intercession for, it's not important anymore. Let me tell you something. When you start telling Jesus what's important and not important, and when you start telling Him that the church He died for isn't important in your life, you are wrong and you're in sin. And this world may not like it, and a lot of churchmen may not like it, but I'll tell you what, you know where the best place to worship is? In God's house. You know where the best place to serve is? In God's house. There's no substitute. There's none. Is there any reason why? Look at what he says, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, as these last days, as this world is getting more wicked, as the problems are increasing, the Bible says it is more important than yesterday to come in together. It is more important to exhort one another, build one another up, strengthen one another, pray for one another. That's some of the reason why we come in here, is so we can help one another. I was trying to explain to a relative the other day, she was saying, I can't find myself to come to church. I'll start to get ready and I just can't do it. I said, listen, I've come into the church not feeling good many a times, but I have never, once I got in here, felt worse than when I was at home. I tell you what, there's just something about it. I could just feel the power. I know Jesus is in the midst. I look around and I see brothers and sisters who we've served together. We've laughed together. We've cried together. We've prayed together. We've served together. It does something for me. I don't know about you. You can try to make a house out here. You can try to make a life out here and a career out here outside of God's will. But I'm here to tell you, you belong where God wants you to be. Don't try to do it halfway. It will never work. It didn't work for Abraham. Remember, he tried to go halfway. Didn't work for him either. It didn't work for Jacob. And it doesn't work for anyone throughout the Bible. And it won't work for you either. Have you tried it before? Oh, I'll get close to where God wants me to be. One of the things you don't even realize is the same thing that Laodicea didn't realize. They thought they were rich, increased with goods. They thought everything was going great. But in all reality, the Spirit told them the truth, that they were poor, miserable, blind, and naked, and didn't even realize it. You know, it's the saddest thing. Our people that are out of God's will, they think everything's great. But guess what? You don't even realize where you're at right now. You don't even realize it. A lot of us can see it. Putting on a show, trying to make everyone feel like you're doing great and life is good. Yet in all reality, what are you doing? Where are you at? Not where God wants you to be. Well, let's keep on going. That life probably brought blessings to him when he was in Succoth. I'm sure the cattle flourished. I'm sure all these things, I'm sure his riches were multiplied and everything else. But look back at chapter 34. He had to go through that. You know, that's what I see a lot of times, don't you? You will see a parent that grew up in church, that was raised in church and stay in church, and they know the truth. And then at some point, they'll decide when their kids, you know, however old, they'll decide, you know what? We're not going to come all the time. We're not going to be involved anymore. We're going to do our own things. So then you've got the parent that has the foundation. Then you've got a child that's only half in and out. And then you get to the next generation and it's nothing. You see how quick? The devil knows that. Look at Jacob. He was raised around an altar. He was raised around trusting God and His promises. Right? Even though he is not where God wants him to be, he's not doing all the wicked things of chapter 34, but all his children are.
Yeah.
And you're sitting here saying, Mike, I know better. What about your kids?
Yeah.
What about your grandchildren? Is you being outside of God, look at me, is you being outside of God's will worth your children and your grandchildren going to hell? Is it worth it?
No.
You're saying, but Mike, it's different. No, it's not. No, it's not. Go back 10 years, 15 years. Those of you who've been here a while. What? How's it worked for people that walked away? Where are their kids at now? Where are they at now? They don't even know anything about God.
No.
And it all started because somebody decided that, you know what? I know something better for my life. I know something better for my time. I know something better for my energy. Right? My money and everything else. This will work out better than what God wants. It will not. You can write a Genesis chapter 4 or 34 in your family, or you can do what God's told you to do and skip it. Right? Where did the problem start? One of the men of Shechem got one of his daughters.
Yeah.
In Shechem. Guess what? If he'd have been in Bethel, that wouldn't have happened.
Amen.
Oh, that's a coincidence. No, it's not. No. You know what God said? Let's go back to what he said. Genesis 35:1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go into Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar unto God. See, he had made an altar in Shechem just for show. But make the real altar that appear unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Do you see what Jacob did? He realized what God said was true. He didn't make excuses. Do you see? Look at verse 2. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. What's he say right here? Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Oh, I guess Succoth did have an effect on them. Shechem had an effect on them. They're carrying around strange gods. Let's keep going. Let us arise and go up unto Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. They gave them all to him, and he buried it under an oak. You see what amazes me? Is even in Jacob's disobedience. You know what God, if I was God, you know what 35 verse 1 would say? I told you so. Right?
Yeah.
Why are you here? This is not where I want you to be.
Right. Yeah.
But our God's merciful and loving and long-suffering and patient with us. And even when we have made a wreck because of our own choices, He is still talking to Jacob, and we can still turn to God. And in love, he says, get up, right? Get up. I know you're down. I know you're frustrated. I know you're afraid. I know things haven't turned out the way you want it. But get up. I tell you what, rise up and let's go to the house of God. Let's go to Bethel. Let's build an altar and we can pick up where we left off. Jimmy said it years ago. I heard it the first time. He made it so simple. Where you've laid your cross down, pick it right back up, or God will let you do that today. It doesn't matter how bad it's been. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered. It doesn't matter how close you got for how long, living halfway in God's will. You can come all the way today. I tell you what, it may change your family's life. It may change the whole trajectory of everything going on in your house. You know what? It may be too late. They might have already moved away. But I'll tell you one thing. They will see a difference in you when you pick up from where you have decided you need to be and you go to where God wants you to be. That's where we've got to be, church. In the center of His will. Time is drawing short. But our God still loves us and He is still merciful. I can't believe how much He loves Jacob and loved them even though he failed to do what He called him to do. And they were carrying around these strange gods. And God still loved him and said, listen, Come back home.
Glory to you.
Come back home to the place I've promised for you.
Yeah.
You're trying to build a name in the place that is not where I want you to be. Come back to Bethel.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Arise. Go up to Bethel. I don't know where your life is at today. I don't know what your, I don't know where God's told you to be. It could be a physical place. It could be something he's called you to do. I don't know that, but you do. And you know it. It's the thing you make excuses about. It's the thing that you're saying no to God about. That is the Bethel in your life. That's where he wants you to go to. And you're saying, well, maybe I'll just do something different. I'll serve the Lord, but in a different way. That's halfway. That's you deciding. He died for us on the cross.
Amen.
He purchased us with his blood. He owns us. We're his. If he says, I want you to be in Bethel, that's where we need to be.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You see what God's telling him to do? Right now, he's saying. Don't waste another day, not another minute. I'm going to ask everyone to stand today. God's word is still true. You can try to find success in many different places. And you might get some worldly success. Jacob had worldly success.
Yeah.
He had a big farm, a big cattle farm. Things were looking great. He had a huge family. God had blessed him with all these things. But what was the problem? They had an altar just for show in a place where they didn't belong. And now it's a mess. What's going on in your life? Do you have an altar just for show? Are you where God wants you to be? Now, the first thing you got to do is admit you're a sinner if you're lost. And realize that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins.
Yes, amen.
And realize when you realize you're a sinner, and realize he died for your sins and rose on the third day, then you can admit to him you're a sinner and call on his name and he'll save you.
Yes.
Now, if you're saved, where are you at today? Are you in Bethel? I'm not talking about a place in the map. I'm talking about where God has called you to be.
Yep.
Are you there? Have you made promises to God? And you're not keeping your end. That's what Jacob tried to do. Are you following halfway? Didn't work out. Go back to Bethel. Go to God's plan. And God's word. And God's way. And I promise you, it will get better. Jacob's family had to live with the consequences of chapter 34. God does not take away consequences of sins. He'll forgive them, but there was still that illegitimate child out there whose father had been murdered by his uncles, and all the stuff that went around with that, that stayed. But you know what? There's God in mercy saying, arise, come to me. Let's get to the real house of God. Get to the real altar. Put away the strange gods. Put away the idols. And let's do what I've called you to do in the place where I've called you to be. You know what happens when he's in the right place? Now we can go to the map, right? What's his name? Jacob. He turned it into Israel. Israel's still there today.
Amen.
If you get to where God wants you to be, it'll last.
Yes.
You know what lasts? Wealth doesn't last. They fight over it when you die. No matter how small, they'll fight over it. Someone will get bent out of shape out of it. Wealth doesn't last. Stuff doesn't last. Right? Health doesn't last. But anything you do for Jesus Christ will last forever.
Amen.
Think of all those that are dead and gone home to be with the Lord. And we're still rejoicing today because of men and women did things for Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here today.
Yeah.
What about you? Where's your legacy for the Lord? It won't happen if you're halfway. It'll happen if you're right where God wants you to be. We're going to ask Brooke to get a song. We're going to open up the altar.